is the Business Breakfast with Owanda on Jazz FM. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Craig Ellum joins us. Very good morning to you. So this announcement today, which has been heavily trailed and so on, obviously neither of us is old enough, thankfully, to remember the New Deal in the United States in the 1930s. But is this the way forward? Because I'm going to throw this little word called affordable in. Nobody seems to be mentioning that these days. A, will it work? And B, is it affordable?
It's difficult to say. Well, let's see what the details are. Like you say, it has been heavily trailed. So there is obviously plenty of infrastructure spend in their base on schools, on roads, on hospitals, etc. It seems to be a lot of what we've heard before, to be honest. So it's whether this is new spending or whether, as you've earlier alluded to, this is just bringing spending forward to a time when we most need it. Whether it's affordable is a two-part question, really. Obviously, we are currently seeing enormous budget deficit spikes because of the efforts of many governments around the world to deal with the pandemic. But the flip side of that is, can we afford not to do these things and get people back into work? What's the longer-term cost? A spike in the budget deficit now is not comparable to not doing it now and comparing that what the deficit would look like otherwise. It's, you've got to look a year, 2 year, 5 years down the road and say, are we better off now having invested in the economy, putting people back to work and stopping the severity of this recession being worse than it could otherwise have been? That's where you really judge this. It's going to come at a cost regardless. You've either got the cost of high unemployment or you've got a slower economy, or you've got the cost of spending now in order to support it. It's always going to be difficult to do the analysis. There are bodies who are trained to do just that.
When all this started and we discussed it, you said that you thought that at the end of it, you know, at the end of the headline outbreak of coronavirus, there would be outbreaks of it locally. Well, that's happened. It's happened in Leicester, which is that the future, do you reckon, for the next foreseeable, that there will be a general relaxation but local lockdown?
Yeah, I do. I think it's going to have to be quite a significant situation for an entire country to go back into lockdown as a collective. I think it is going to be far more targeted efforts. I think the track and trace system or versions of it is going to be more heavily enforced at this point. And then we are going to see more localized efforts to try and contain things before they get out of hand. And I think many of these governments around the world now are better positioned to be able to do so. And I almost think that it had these type of efforts been taken initially, then we may have avoided such a severe economic situation that we are now dealing with. But again, it's all well and good saying that in hindsight, but when you're dealing with the issue on the spot and you're not prepared for it, then it can be very difficult to do so. And you know very little about the disease as well. So I do think this is now the future. We're going to see in the US in terms of state responses. We're going to see here in the UK in terms of regional responses and a similar response across Europe and the rest of the world.
Boris Johnson is up the ante as far as the EU discussions are concerned and bringing forward a deadline and all the rest of it. The headlines this morning in the papers are that EU for its part is saying, oh, hang on a second, no, we want a level playing field as far as at least financial services are concerned, and you suspect the rest. There were favourable noises coming, weren't there? Now it sounds as if, you know, it's going to the table with high stakes and so on. Do you feel as though any progress has been made? Because it always seems a lot of noise.
There's too much noise when Brexit is concerned. We've seen this all before, and for what, 5 years now, there's always noise. There's always negotiations, and a lot of this negotiation happens in the public eye, and happens in the media, and happens in the newspapers. And we've become so accustomed to it. I think we've almost become numb to it. I rarely read these headlines now because I know exactly what the target of these headlines ultimately is. I do think there is a softening of stance. I do think there is a sense of urgency. I do think there is an increased willingness again on both sides to get this deal done, given the times that we are living through. And I do think there is going to be compromise on both sides. I mean, we talk about level playing field as if it's one thing, as if we have to have a level playing field across every aspect of every part of the economy. There's no reason why this can't be broken down into areas where you can say, we'll agree to level playing fields here because this is broadly in line with what we want to do. Or you could have a thing where you could have almost a punishment system in place. Trump does it with tariffs, for example. There's other ways in which this situation can be managed. I imagine that's the route that we are going to head down, but I don't think it's going to jeopardize the deal ultimately.
Right. So calendar-wise, we are at the end of the second quarter. It's time. We could take a timely view of an incredible 6 months, couldn't we? Which nobody could have foreseen. Where are we now? Where are we going as far as the markets are concerned, and in particular the equity markets are concerned, which appear once again to have defied gravity and also have lapped up the fact there's lots of government money around.
Yeah, the equity markets have defied gravity to a great extent. The fact that we're at these levels and we are in the midst of the most feared recession in a century is a bit ridiculous. But as you say, there's a lot of government money around, there's a lot of central bank money around, and when all this cash is sloshing around the system, it has to go somewhere, and it typically does go into equity markets. But the FTSE still is off, I think, around about 20% at this point in time, just shy of 20% from its highs. So we're not quite recovered in the same way that the US equity markets are. So I don't think the markets are necessarily healthy state. But if we look back to 2012 time, when we were in the most severe part of the EU debt crisis, you could have looked at some markets then and said the same thing. This is what QE and all this extra stimulus does. It effectively eases the burden on the markets from interest rates and other standpoints, stops problems in the financial markets flowing over into the real economy in the hope that the real economy has time to catch up. And I feel like we're in that kind of phase at this moment in time. I do feel there are a few vulnerabilities maybe starting to appear in the markets in the short term. But I don't think anything beyond that. I think the economy is now just going to have time to catch up to the markets that we are seeing, and the credit conditions are going to stay extremely easy in order to try and support businesses and households in order to allow that to happen.
At the same time, and I don't need to tell you about this, but let's just rehearse it. You know, the service sector, which is a massive part of life, is never going to be the same again, as far as we can tell. And companies, a lot of them will have to change very rapidly, probably are doing that right now. A lot will be saying, do you know what, it's not really worth it. We'll go and do something else. There's big changes underfoot. But given that transitional stage, don't you feel that'll affect the economy and therefore the stock market?
It will definitely affect the economy, but whether it affects the stock market is another thing, because there's always going to be other companies. There's going to be companies that are hit hard by these changes, and there's companies that are going to thrive as a result of these changes. You look in the US, for example, at the NASDAQ, where the tech stocks have done extremely well out of this shift into online shopping, the increased use of teleconferencing, all of these things. There's stocks that have seen their share prices surge quite dramatically because they're benefiting from this new normal. And there's going to be plenty of other companies who are going to capitalize on it in much the same way. So in that sense, I don't necessarily think that's always going to hit the markets. We're just going to see independent losers in this, unfortunately. And I think we're just going to see a huge acceleration in trends that were already forming prior to the pandemic. And you just hope that many companies, and particularly small, medium-sized businesses, can adjust and find their position in this new economy, because these are the biggest employers in the economy. And I don't think any of us wants to see these shutting down on the high street because of something that was completely out of their control.
Craig Ellen, thank you very much indeed.
This is the Business Breakfast with Owanda on Jazz FM. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.